Welcome to the last study in this series on biblical womanhood on today's Journey Through the Bible podcast. I will be drawing to completion this study on the Proverbs 31 woman, but please go back and listen to sessions 1 to 3 if you haven't already done so, in order to get a good overview on this particular subject of God's design for women. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for all of these scriptures which you have placed on my heart to share. And Lord, I pray that they will be used to bring much fruit for the sake of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that no seed of your word will return void, but it will accomplish that for which it was sent, and it will prosper in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Reading now from verse 25 of Proverbs 31 in the Amplified Version of the Bible, which says, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure, and she smiles at the future, knowing that she and her family are prepared." The King James Version translates it slightly differently as follows: "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." But what exactly does strength and honor are her clothing actually mean? Well, the word strength, as I previously mentioned, means force, security, praise, majesty, boldness, power in various applications. And the Hebrew word for honor is hadar, which means magnificence, that is, ornament or splendor, beauty, comeliness, excellency, glorious majesty. What a powerful description of a godly woman. In addition, the Hebrew word for clothing is labesh, which means to wrap around or to put on. Therefore, symbolically, this woman wraps herself with strength and honor, as if she were putting on clothing in the physical realm. So in a nutshell, every one of us, as woman of God, has the potential to put on, as it were, these same attributes or qualities. It's important to remember, too, that this is also a prophetic picture of the bride of Christ. And since we, as believers, are all in Christ, that both male, female, gender, of all ages, the moment each one of us is born again, our positions in Christ empower us to be secure members of the body of Christ. Our position in him is strong and secure, as Ephesians 1 verse 6 so clearly states, "And he raised us up together with him when we believed, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, because we are in Christ Jesus, Christ Yeshua." Going back now to verse 25 of Proverbs 31, which says, "She shall rejoice in time to come." Now this obviously means that she laughs, makes merry, and has a positive attitude towards the future. Now this is not always so easy, considering the times in which we are living in the year 2025. But you and I, as women of God, have the potential to be confident in ourselves and in our abilities simply because of our position in Christ. No matter what our individual circumstances might look like or what the future might hold. That is why it is so very necessary to find out exactly what the Bible says concerning one's identity in Christ, because the world system, and very often, the devil uses people's opinions to breed insecurity and negativity rather than a sense of well-being and value, remembering that our worth as human beings is based on what God thinks. And after all, it's his opinion that really counts at the end of the day. As far as having a future and a hope is concerned, the Bible says clearly in Jeremiah 29 verses 11 and 12, this is a well-known scripture which states, "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear your voice, and I will listen to you. Then with a deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. So there is a responsibility required to seek the face of God for oneself. And like everything in the kingdom of heaven, terms and conditions always apply in order for God to manifest himself in our lives. Verse 26 of Proverbs 31 goes on to say, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue, giving counsel and instruction." In other words, she has the ability to help other people acquire wisdom and doesn't just keep it for herself. And she chooses to speak kind words rather than harsh or angry words when placed in negative situations. This, of course, is not easy, and a good scripture to help out in this regard is Psalm 141, verse 3, which says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth." And this is a prayer which I have prayed on many occasions, and I continue to pray. The New Living Testament, NLT version, says, "Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips." The natural human tendency, of course, because of our sinful nature, is to react negatively when things get difficult or the going gets rough. I find that sometimes I take myself off the altar of sacrifice, as it were, and I have to put myself back on. My mentor, Margaret Nicholas, who was my pastor's wife many years ago during my teenage years, used to say, "When the going gets rough, then the tough get going." Pearls of wisdom and words which I've never forgotten over my 45 years or so of serving the Lord. The dictionary definition for the word kindness means caring or kind acts. Therefore, a small word of encouragement, a smile, or a hug are all things which can go a long way to sowing a bit of kindness in a world where often that is not the case. For more teaching concerning the subject of kindness, please tune in to my husband's series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, where Graham has dealt with the subject at length in his Sunday messages. So there's no need for me to go on in more detail in this regard. Going now to verse 27 of Proverbs 31, which states that this woman looks well to how things go in her household. In other words, she makes sure that her home is in order and does not eat the bread of idleness. I just wanted to share a quick testimony here of an example of a lady who landed up in a caravan. And there she was in a situation, she and her husband were living in a caravan, and each day her husband would go out to work, and she would be left all alone in the caravan. Children weren't with them. But this is what she said, how she coped with the depression that she was facing in her situation. The Lord showed her to just have a sacrifice offer to the Lord, whether she was cleaning the caravan, or whether she was mopping up, whether she was washing dishes, whatever she was doing, she would offer it up and make her home an altar, despite the situation in which she was living. And I thought that was such a wonderful testimony, an example of someone who chose in her situation to turn it around, that which the enemy meant for evil, but to turn it around for good. And then God could actually intervene. And every day when her husband came back, he would say he found such peace in the home because of her attitude. And the Lord can use that and turn their whole situation around for good. So any form of laziness is obviously a discredit to the kingdom of heaven. And in line with this is a scripture found in Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, which states that whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul, that is, put in your very best effort, as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance. The Greek word here for inheritance is kleronomia, and it means to acquire something. An inheritance, of course, is a possession, patrimony, or property inherited from one's earthly father. But likewise, all that belongs to our Heavenly Father, He desires to pass down to each one of His children, that's both sons and daughters. What a mind-blowing thought, since the Bible clearly states that all the silver and gold belongs to the Lord. I'm just going to mention that scripture. It's found in Haggai 2 verse 8, where it says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies." And His desire, obviously, is to distribute His rich inheritance to all of His children. But once again, this is not an automatic principle, because it takes great faith in God's promises to download financial wealth from heaven onto the earth, and it is for the primary purpose of establishing His covenant here on the earth. As Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says, "But you shall remember with profound respect," this was God talking to Israel through Moses, "the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant, which He swore or solemnly promised to your fathers, as it is this day." So this same principle applies to us as the modern day church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. God wants to establish His covenant through each one of His children. Moving on now to verse 28 of Proverbs 31, where it says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying," that's in verse 29, "many daughters have done nobly and well, with the strength of character that is steadfast in goodness, but you excel them all." Well, this woman is praised and appreciated by her family, and not just taken for granted. However, for those women who are listening to this, who maybe do not have husbands or even children, once again, this verse can apply to any woman's life. As I mentioned previously in the previous podcast, that this whole portion of scripture, Proverbs 31, from verse 10 through to 31, can actually apply to any woman's life. My Bible footnote explains it in this way. And so I'm just going to read from here in the Amplified Bible. It states that the source of this remarkable woman's success and competence is revealed in verse 30, and it is a source available to everyone. She is wise because she understands and puts into practice the message contained in Proverbs 9, verse 10. So let's go there quickly. It says there, "The reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshipping Him and regarding Him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding and spiritual insight. An essential ingredient for daily living," and this is, I've finished that scripture, so I'm just carrying on here. "An essential ingredient for daily living life as a Christian is, of course, the reverential fear of God. But what does this really mean? Well, it means giving God first place in our lives, and having a deep respect for Him and His Word. And this should be a priority, because the Lord is a jealous God, and He will not share Himself with any other god or idol. And idols come in many different forms. For example, people can be an idol, or clothing, money, cars, possessions, houses, one's career, food, pets, cell phones, social media, even something as seemingly innocent as being a do-gooder in the church. That too can even take the place of God and become an idol. Anything which separates us from God and is made more important. So we need to guard against any form of idols in our lives, for He alone deserves the glory." Now, of course, that does not mean that we should not honor people where necessary, but that's something completely different. And now that brings me to the first part of verse 30, which says, going back to verse 30 of chapter 31, charm and grace are deceptive, and superficial beauty is vain. But again, what does this really mean? Let's just camp on this statement for a bit. Charm and grace can be pleasing and attractive. However, it can also be used to mislead or trick others or manipulate people for the purpose of selfish gain. So there is a difference between charm, and I'm just going to use the word flattery. There's a difference between flattery and genuine encouragement. The English Standard Version of the Bible says charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But the Bible has quite a lot to say about flattery. And I'm going to mention a couple of scriptures just to substantiate this. Proverbs 6 verse 21 warns against the flattery of the smooth tongue of an immoral woman. For example, the prostitute who is described in Proverbs 7 verse 22 used flattering lips in order to seduce a man when her husband was away from home. But it doesn't just apply to a woman, it can also apply to a man. Psalm 55 verse 21 says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but his heart was hostile. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. In other words, saying one thing, yet actually not really meaning it. Being deceitful or lying in order to use something to gain an advantage over somebody else. As opposed to true encouragement. For example, the scripture which substantiates this is found in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11, where we as believers are instructed to encourage and comfort one another and build one another up in genuine and sincere concern for the well-being of another person. Now going on to the part which talks about superficial beauty. Another word for superficial beauty is vanity. And a good definition for the word vain is having or showing an excessively high opinion of oneself, appearance, abilities, or worth. In other words, being conceited. The Hebrew word for vain is habal, and it literally means emptiness, vanity, something which is not permanent. Whereas real beauty is found in a person who is humble, realizing that every gifting and every attribute comes from God, and nothing can ever be accomplished or achieved without his help. He is the creator, after all, of mankind, that's human beings, and has made each and every person fearfully and wonderfully in his very own image. So there is no need to prove anything to anyone. In actual fact. And that's why it's so important to know our identity in Christ. Closing now, let's go back to verse 31 of Proverbs 31, where it says, give her of the product of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates of the city. Now, in ancient Israel, the gates of the city were central to the social, economic, and judicial life of the community. Gates served as places of commerce, legal proceedings, and public announcements, as well as providing protection from Israel's enemies. And they were often fortified structures which reflected the city's strength and security. Now, obviously, this woman's hard work earned her a good reputation. Why? Because she feared the Lord. And it brought her recognition, which ultimately came from God. And she enjoyed the fruit of her own labors. Now, in John 12, verse 12, I just want to use this as a cross-reference, where it says, the Lord Yeshua's words to his disciples, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. So God will make sure that anyone who serves him, he will honor. And he will use people to do that, obviously. Now the gates of the city are also very symbolic of keeping the enemy out of our lives, our homes, families, churches, communities, nations, etc. So from a spiritual perspective, it's important that we, as women of God, act as gatekeepers through the power of intercessory prayer. By being vigilant in prayer, reading and meditating on the Word of God, being an active member of a local church, all of these things are just an integral part of the Lord being able to raise up many gatekeepers in His body. And gatekeepers obviously also involve men as intercessors. All of these things need to be in place so that we thrive in the body of Christ, but especially as women of God, because this podcast deals with God's design for women to be empowered and to fulfill the Great Commission, which the Lord requires of every believer in Christ. Christ is our example to follow, and his many attributes can be seen in the many character traits of this powerful Proverbs 31 woman. And may this study inspire you and I, as women of God, to become more like him. So be blessed in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.